Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her. Well, there's no doubt what the prophet is calling God's people to do, is there? Rejoice, be glad, rejoice with joy. The prophet is calling us to rejoice. Rejoice with Jerusalem, he says. Be glad for her. And God's people, both back then and today, do have great reasons to rejoice and be glad with Jerusalem, rejoicing with joy. We rejoice because God has called us out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin, out of the darkness of death, out of the darkness of fallible human opinion. He has given to us in his word the absolute truth that so many people and philosophies claim to be striving for. Some people claim that they have the truth, but when you listen to them, they always start by saying, I think. Others say that we can never really know for sure what the absolute truth is, and we just have to accept that we'll never know it. But really, that's a slap in the face to God. God, who went to great lengths to reveal to us the truth over a period of hundreds of years. Other people claim that each religion has a little bit of the truth, and you can take a little bit from here and a little bit from there and put it together to make your own truth, even when those different things contradict each other. But we have the truth. The truth that God has given us in his word. And we know it's true because it comes from God. And God does not lie. And this truth is something to rejoice over. That's what Isaiah says. Rejoice. Even though we should be mourning our sin. Even though we should be every day living in fear of God's punishment for our sin. Even though, as we ourselves all together just confessed a couple minutes ago, we have all sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Isaiah says to us this morning, rejoice with Jerusalem, that you may nurse and be satisfied, that you may drink deeply with delight. As we sit here this morning, 3 days after the 4th of July, we might think of all of those blessings and benefits that we have as Americans that most of the time we take for granted. Rights and opportunities that people in most other countries simply do not have. One of which is evident right here this morning as we are all able to gather together with each other to worship God according to our conscience. But it's also easy to take the church, the assembly of God's people, for granted, too. We forget the benefits of being encouraged and strengthened by others. We forget our responsibility to be here so that we can encourage and strengthen others ourselves. Quite a while ago, I read another pastor's article in his church's monthly newsletter, and in this particular article, he pointed out to his people that when you don't come to church, not only are you hurting yourself by missing out on hearing God's word, but you're also hurting your fellow Christians by depriving them of your presence with them, to worship with them, to sing with them, to pray with them, to confess the faith together with them. These things we often forget about, or we take them for granted. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. What a beautiful picture of God's relationship with his people. What a perfect picture it is for a Sunday when we at St. Peter just had a baptism up there today, and I understand you are going to be having a baptism here 1 week from today, next Sunday. Our Heavenly Father's relationship to us is like a mother carrying her child on her hip. On her hip, he's safe. He's protected. It's like a mother bouncing her child on her knee. What do your kids do when you bounce them on your knee? They giggle. They laugh. And if they're old enough to talk, what do they say? Do it again. Do it again. This is what God is like for you. This is what God does for you. So Isaiah says, rejoice. This is who your God is. God has poured out his peace upon you through baptism. And his peace goes beyond what any of us earthly parents can offer or promise. Because we earthly mothers and fathers can say to our children, everything will be okay. But we only have so much power to make those words come true. And we earthly mothers and fathers can say to our children, I will always be here to take care of you. But we have no guarantees, despite our best intentions and efforts. Only Jesus can say both of those things. Everything will be okay, and I will always be here to take care of you. Because he has already won the victory for us and promises us that everything will work together for our good. And he has made a promise to you, that promise he made to you when he put his name on you with that water and that word. The promise that you are his and he will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So rejoice. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Well, all right, Pastor, that's all well and good. That sounds great. But you don't know what's going on in my life. Because I don't feel much like a child giggling and laughing as he's being bounced on his mother's knee. I wish that I did. But I've got too many troubles, too much pain, too much struggle to feel that way. I believe you. And that's why when he talks about rejoicing, Isaiah also talks about comfort. Because a person does not need comfort if he's living an easy, pain-free life. You only need comfort if you're hurting, if you're angry, if your shoulders are carrying a heavy burden. So Jesus does not tell us that our life as his children will be an easy one, free from burdens and difficulties and pains. In fact, he tells us the opposite, that being his disciple is like carrying a cross. So if you struggle, that does not mean that your faith is lacking. If you struggle, that's simply what being a follower of Jesus is like. Notice that we are not told, go comfort yourself. No, even though sometimes that's our first instinct. But we won't find the comfort that we need in ourselves and our own deeds. Comfort is found in Jesus and in his word to us and his promise to us. His word of forgiveness, his word of grace. Comfort is found only in the cross. The cross where this Jesus who is the God of the universe, died in our place, in our spot. He himself is no stranger to hardships or trials or pains or the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knows what it is. He knows what it's like. Because the weight of the world crushed him too. You see it right there on this cross. Every time you come into this building and look up here in the front, there it is. Right before your eyes. but he overcame it. Not because he needed to, but because we, you and I, needed him to, for us. He was killed, but he rose from the dead, not for himself, but for us. So that when we have trials and struggles and difficulties and pains, we know that we are not alone, but he is there with us. And even these have been overcome as well. We have his promise that in the midst of them, he is with us in our time of need, to comfort us with his life-giving word, to nourish our bodies and our souls with his body and his blood given to you today. So, as the prophet says, we can rejoice. Then you will see and your heart will rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord will be shown to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. So you do not need to fear the devil. You do not need to fear sin. You do not need to fear death. You do not need to fear anything. You do not need to fear anyone who would persecute Jesus' church, because Jesus will protect his bride. He has promised all the powers of hell shall not prevail against her. Not because she is so strong, but because he has won the victory already. And in the midst of our struggles, he comforts us too. He sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working through his word, and his word put together with water, and his word put together with bread, and together with wine. The Spirit that gives us through this word and through these sacraments that peace of God which passes all understanding. The assurance, the promise that our sins are forgiven. The assurance, the promise that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. The assurance, the promise that we are his children no matter what. The assurance, the promise of eternal life with our Savior, Jesus. So, this morning, you and I can do just what Isaiah says. Rejoice and be glad. Amen. And now the peace which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.